Ring, 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 ring. Got to turn down?
Okay.
A little more. A little more. A little more. Turn down. Ezekiel 28. Okay. If anybody would like to touch the fifth edition, okay, it's only a quarter. It's still too loud. Still got a ring. So, yep, Hank and I went and got these on someday this week, Tuesday. So, Ezekiel 28, verse 20. Still got a ring? Ed, would you go up? Turn down. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask that you'd help us to understand your words. And I pray you'd help us to be faithful to this book. We thank you for it. And we ask that we could look at things through your eyes, that we will begin to understand a lot of things. And Lord, we just thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Nice warm weather outside. Okay, Ezekiel 26 to 32. Go ahead and turn it down, Ed. Ezekiel 26 to 32. A little bit, a little higher. Not that down far. La, 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 la. There we go. 26 to 32 is seven chapters in a row about the devil and or Antichrist. So Ezekiel learned these things while he was captive over there in Babylon. And he's going to reveal Ezekiel 28, the first 19 verses are the usual places where anybody that teaches about Lucifer will go, specifically 11 to 19, which is the right place to go. And then Isaiah 14. We got down to 19 going into 20 at the paragraph mark. And so we'll just keep plodding along here, verse by verse. It says, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Zidon and prophesy against it. Okay, no solutions, just preach at them. Preach against them. And the Lord has reached the limit with these people, and as we read down, we'll find out what the limit is, and then we can take this limit into the New Testament and learn a truth that often happens to a believer. So he says, prophesy against it, thus say it, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Zidon, and I will be glorified in the midst of thee. Okay, so how is he going to be glorified? A little bit more, I think, Ed. How is he going to be glorified? He is going to be glorified by bringing judgment down. That's not the best way to glorify God. Okay, from our perspective. But the Lord's going to get glory when he brings judgment down. And it says, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall have executed judgments in her and shall be sanctified in her. Now, in that judgment, if the person dies, it's going to be a quick thought. Okay, I know God's, in control. Boom, okay, I got that figured out. Too late. Too late to figure out by then. And so here's the preceding warnings before the actual hammer comes down. Okay, I will send into her pestilence. Okay, pest. Okay, lice, fleas, so forth, so on. Not saying that if you get lice from somebody in public school, bring it home, that you are judged by God. That's just a natural thing of life. Okay, pestilence. And a lot of times pestilence brings sickness. Doctors rarely, if ever, consider a cause of a problem to be parasites, but that would be more than people know. Okay, they rarely even consider that idea. In the health world, they tend to consider that. But it says, I will send into her pestilence, okay? And any of the animal rights activists, if they get parasites, we want to make sure that they don't endanger that parasite in their bodies so it eats them up from the inside out. Okay, and so, okay, and blood in her streets. Okay, so going to have violence and everything in the streets. And the wounded shall be judged in the midst of her. By the sword upon her on every side, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Second time he made that statement. They are going to know that I am the Lord. Okay, so what is their crime or offense against God that he brings this down on them? And there shall be no more a pricking briar unto the house of Israel, nor any grieving thorn of all that are round about them that despise them, and they shall know that I am the Lord God. Okay, so what did this nation do to Israel that eventually God said, okay, I've had enough. I've had it up to here. I'm done with you. They were a thorn in their side. They despised Israel, and they did everything they could just to make the life of Israel more difficult. Okay, that idea of a thorn, does that ring a bell with anything that Paul prayed about? Okay, and most of the commentators will say the thorn in the side of Paul was bad eyesight. I don't buy into that one. I just don't accept that idea. If you would, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And what this might do, remember that 2 Corinthians is about the ministry. So the Lord, when somebody is called to preach or whatever, it seems like what comes along with it, as a pretty rose has thorns. And so what comes along with it, if you want to be like Christ, and should we not try to be like the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay, well, he had a Judas. He had a doubting Thomas. He had 70 disciples that walked away from him. He asked the 12, you guys taking off too? Okay, and so this is part of the ministry, 2 Corinthians 12. Paul prayed about this in verse 7. And he says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, comma, the messenger of Satan to buffet me." So what do they call that in English, that renaming the noun? Is that an appositive? Am I remembering that right? Renaming the noun? So a thorn in the flesh, comma, bad eyesight, the messenger of Satan. A messenger, a person, somebody whose ministry is to always be pointing out your blind spots. They take it upon themselves to criticize everything you do. They may run their mouth against you. Why? Just to make your life a little more difficult. Of course, they're doing it to make us better. It's a thorn in the flesh. Okay, the two that were the thorn in the flesh to Moses are named in 2 Timothy, Jannes and Jambres. You don't find them in the Old Testament. They name them in the New Testament. And why does the Lord allow that? Okay, so he says, lest I should be exalted above measure. Okay, so if you look at the verse as a sandwich, the bologna's in the middle, that's the thorn. So Paul has abundant of revelations. When a person, as a pastor, preacher, or teacher of the Bible, gets revelations of God, and he gives that out to others, he gives what God gives them. A lot of people would say, that is great, man. I never saw that before. Thank you. That's a blessing. Okay, and then they will tend to put that person on a pedestal, saying that he got this because he was smart. No, we don't get stuff in the Bible because we're smart. Okay, and then at the end, lest I should be exalted above measure. The Lord does that just to keep a person in reality. And that's the idea. Okay, he asked God about that three times. Man, come on, that guy is just a pain in the rump. It just constantly. Why is he so critical? Why is it like that? What's going on? It just, man, it keeps me up at night sometimes, you know. And the Lord says, it's good for you. You got blind spots, don't you think? Maybe he's pointing out the blind spot. Maybe he's honking horns so you don't sideswipe him. Or maybe he's just doing it, you know, just to be a pest. Okay, in the case of Zidon, they were doing it just to be a regular nuisance to Israel. You know, they were, you know, like a narcissist. You know, a lot of people go through divorce situations, and this is the trouble they have with one of the spouses, where they just, from now on until the day they die, they're going to do all they can to make the other party's life miserable. I mean, at one time they said, I love you and all that stuff, but now they're going to do everything they can to make their life miserable. Well, Paul prayed about that messenger three times, and the Lord said, sorry, pal. He said, we're just going to let it ride. Now, I'd hate that be the thorn in the flesh when it hits the judgment. I'd hate to be there. Okay, and that's going to be a rough time. And when if that thorn in the flesh is saved, yes, saved people can do this, is saved at the judgment when the Lord Jesus Christ brings them up, he's going to call you as a witness. And there you can testify. Okay, and in Paul's case, the Lord, he asked three times about it, and the Lord said, nope, nope, and nope. So for Zidon, the Lord said, I've had enough of you. And how long this went on, we don't know. But in their case, the Lord says, I'm judging you. Okay, and he said that he may know that I am the Lord. That I am the Lord. Okay, that pricking briar, that thorn, if you go to the cross-reference that I used there in Micah chapter 7 on the word thorn, probably in the margin, you could easily write 2 Corinthians 12:7. You know, if I had my brain, you know, I could have wrote that in the margins, but I missed it. You know, don't get them all right. So that's how you keep adding to it. That's why we're up to the fifth edition. Just keep adding references as we go. Okay, in chapter 7 of Micah, this is a description of the average person alive at the second coming. So chapter 7, many of these prophets are jumping into the future, into the tribulation. In verse 2, he says, the good man has perished out of the earth. And there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. That they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh and the judge asketh for a reward. We would call that a bribe. And the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. Okay, and about wraps it up. So it's the end of a nation, the end of a society, the end of the world, say the end of the tribulation, Daniel's 70 weeks. He says, the best of them is a briar. And if you go to the original autographs, you'll find something in there. It says that they are in the news media. Right. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchment and thy visitation cometh. The visitation in the Bible is usually a reference to the second coming. Now shall be their perplexity. Yeah, that's right. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter rises up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. And the next verse shows again second coming. Sadly, that's where this country's heading. This generation coming up right now, These little ones that are being manipulated at 5, 6 years old in the public school system, confusing them about gender, these kids are coming up, and that's going to be the next generation. And it is going to be a mess. You know, as far as the church goes, you know, a lot of as far as this coming up generation, ooh, is it gonna get bad? Okay, and of course the Bible prophesies these things. And if Noah can remain faithful, okay, and 8 people got in the boat, okay, so shall we. If Enoch can remain faithful, then so shall we. Many of the Bible characters lived during times of apostasy. So we have no excuse saying, well, everybody's doing it. Well, if everybody's jumping off a cliff, you're going to go with them? Okay, and so this is the general character or lack thereof of society when it's falling apart. And that would have been Zidon. Jeremiah said in his day, right before Babylon come in, he said, everybody's a supplanter. Everybody's a liar. He said that in Jeremiah 9. Pretty bad commentary. So in verse 25, he says, thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered. Okay, so that right there, he's jumping many years. Many of these prophets will look at the short-term prophecy and then long-term prophecy. Okay, where it says the house of Israel are scattered. Well, at that time, they weren't scattered. They were in Judah. They were in Israel. Okay, and a bunch were taken to Babylon, 4,600. But there is a time where they are going to be scattered throughout all the world, which is now. And if you take the word scattered, you can run that to James 1, verse 1, 2 to 12 tribes, which are scattered abroad. You can run to 1 Peter 1, verse 1, where the strangers are scattered abroad. And then you can type in ends of the earth. And you'll see that the Lord says, I'm going to send them to the ends of the earth. Where's that? It's Antarctica. Okay, and during World War II, the Nazis had military base down in Antarctica. And yeah, there's stuff going on. Now, you can't go to Antarctica. Nobody can go to Antarctica without military presence. 57 nations have signed an agreement. About the longest standing agreement there is. You can't go down there. You might find some things that they don't want you to find. Besides, it's cold. Okay, so scattered abroad. And then it says, shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen. Then shall they dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob. Okay, millennial time period. And they shall dwell safely therein. Millennial time period. See, so after Babylon, when they went in and came back from Media, they didn't dwell safely. So it's not, this is not the short-term prophecy. This is the long-term prophecy. At the word safely, you can run many places on that, where the Jew will dwell safely in Israel. Not today. That's not true today. They shall dwell safely therein and shall build houses and plant vineyards. You can run that to the end of Isaiah 65. That's what he promised there. Yea, they shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgments upon all those that despised them. Okay, in chapter 35, he's going to take an entire chapter and identify them to be the Edomites. They envied them. Here, it's the Zidonians in verse 21, but in 35, he's going to mention the Edomites. Okay, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God. Okay, so 3 times he said that coming through here. So that's 3 of the 7 chapters about the devil, Antichrist, Apollyon, Leviathan, okay, whatever. So chapter 29, in the 10th year, in the 10th month, in the 12th day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Okay, so when we think that, if you try to picture words when you read them, It makes reading more enjoyable when you just don't focus on the words and you have a picture, a mental picture of what you're reading. And if you're reading King of Egypt, okay, you can imagine, okay, a guy in royal robes, got a nice crown on his head and everything. Debonair fella, maybe. Okay, and then the Lord describes him from the heavenly perspective. So he says, prophesy against them and against all Egypt. So Egypt is naughty. Speak and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, Pharaoh. Okay, we got the man again, identified, king of Egypt, got him identified. Okay, then we're going to rename the noun, the great dragon. Well, is the Lord not seeing what we're seeing? Or what the Egyptians were seeing? The Egyptians were seeing a charismatic man, a very debonair man, a man in royal robes, crown. But God says he's a dragon. He's a reptile. Great dragon that lieth in the midst of his rivers, which hath said, my river is mine own. Oh yeah, a little pride there. And I have made it for myself. You see, when you see these things, there are some obviously strange doctrines in the Bible, and this is obviously a strange doctrine, but yet when we look at that, we tend to lose faith in political leaders. And in Psalm 118 it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So the Lord wants us to trust in Him. Okay, and when people will see this king, God sees inside of him this red dragon. And that's why John the Baptist said to those Pharisees, you're vipers. He wasn't just calling them names, he was identifying them. Jesus called them vipers in Matthew 23. Okay, and then Jesus said they're of the children of the devil in John 8:44. And you tell this to people, you know, it's and they're shocked, they're amazed. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel. No big deal. No marvel. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. So a lot of these secular, I remember seeing one little YouTube commercial, this guy is going to teach the Bible. And he says, what about a snake talking in Genesis chapter 3, and then the snake crawls, and that's what they do. Yeah, I know God called it a serpent, but if you read elsewhere, you'll discover that when Satan manifests himself, he manifests himself as an angel of light. He's just a man standing there. It's a man standing there talking to Eve, casting doubt on the Word of God, and then corrupting the Word of God. Okay, and so that's how he would appear. He knows that if he came in his natural and showed himself as his natural being, what would we do? We'd pass out. That's what Job 41 says. If we would see Leviathan, that red dragon, boom, we'd be gone. We'd be out. Because who can stand before him? Well, God only. So this is Pharaoh. This is Pharaoh of the day of Ezekiel. And then the Lord says, this is what I'm going to do. And this shows you that God is not struggling with the devil. There's no struggle. None whatsoever. He says, I will put hooks in thy jaws. Okay, now, you can take a big bull and put a ring in his nose, put a little rope on it, and he's going where you want him to go. He might tramp on you if you don't get out of the way, but you put a little yank on that, that's going to work. You put a hook in somebody's jaw, and now people are so convenient now where they got all this stuff in their body, all you got to do is have the rope with a little latch on it, and you just hook under them and then yank them anywhere you want. When I was in high school, that's when these girls had these great big hoop earrings. And a couple girls down at KV got in a fight, and one grabbed it, yanked it through it. And I saw during halftime of a basketball game, I saw this girl with her ear all taped up like, oh, that was the one. You hear about that stuff. Okay, so he says, I'll put hooks in thy jaws, and I will cause the fish of thy rivers to stink unto the stick under thy scales, and I'll bring thee up out of the midst of thy rivers, and all the fish of thy rivers shall stick unto thy scale. So a good cross reference with that is Job 41. Okay, and you read all about that. And the Lord is telling us how powerful He is. So, no problems there. Okay, and the devil is created without fear. According to Job 41:33, God created that being where he has no fear. He doesn't fear God. Now, the devils, the lowercase devils, they do fear God. But Satan himself does not. So this is Job 41 would be the place to run to read about that. He says, I will leave thee thrown into the wilderness, thee and all the fish of thy rivers. Okay, generally the wilderness is referenced to Saudi Arabia. That's where the children of Israel wandered, but it could be other wilderness here. Thou shalt fall upon the open fields. Thou shalt not be brought together, like he's sliced and diced, nor gathered. I have given thee for meat to the beasts of the field and to the fowls of heaven. Okay, the general pattern of the Lord under the Old Testament covenant is his last, you know, his last judgment on a person or a being like this is they get no burial. They get no memorial. They're thrown out in a field and the birds eat their carcass. And the wolves and the coyotes come in and eat their carcass. That's what he did to Jezebel. Okay, and so it's a big deal from the Jewish customs to have a burial. Now, in America, we used to follow these principles pretty strongly because America was more church-oriented. And they would bring the body to the church and all those things. It's always nice to do that. It's always good to do that. I believe it is. But again, I realize in this day and age, things get so expensive. And a lot of people ask the question, is it wrong to be cremated? Is it wrong to be that? I'm saying the highest ideal is have a funeral service and have it in your church. Okay, you can put your request in there. Okay, try to have things all in order. I had an elderly lady down in Rensselaer where she wrote out the entire order of service. I just had to follow through. Had the songs picked out, had me picked out as a speaker and everything. Okay, but some folks, I know things are getting more and more difficult. And some folks really are death against cremation. I see that it's nothing more than a financial decision in these days. Okay, the highest ideal, I do believe, is to have a funeral, casket, things like that. But I understand, though, as far as finances go, people say, well, it's the body, it's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Man, you're gone. If you die at sea, what are you going to be? You're going to be fish food. The Lord knows where those molecules are at. He knows where the matter's at. And when he wants to pull her back together to use that as the seed for the resurrected body, he knows what's going on. Okay, but as far as God is concerned, his last smack in the face to somebody, in this context, Pharaoh, is you're going to be it. You're going to be it by the dogs. And that's what he did to Jezebel. And then he says in verse 6, and all the inhabitants of Egypt shall know that I am the Lord. You see, he don't even get the opportunity to know he's the Lord. He said, they're going to know I'm the Lord, what I've done to you. Because they have been a staff of reed to the house of Israel. When they took hold of thee by thy hand, thou didst break and rend all their shoulder. And when they leaned upon thee, thou breakest and madest all their loins to be at a stand. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring a sword upon thee and cut off man and beast out of thee. And the land of Egypt shall be desolate and waste, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Doctrinally, this looks like it's going into the tribulation. And it says, because he hath said, the river is mine, and I have made it. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. God made it. Okay, I like that one little joke or whatever it goes that God and the devil was having an argument, and the devil was saying, I'm as strong as you can, I can create. And he said, okay. And he picks up the dirt, you know, the dust going to create. And God said, hey, get your own dirt. Let's see you do it out of nothing. Okay, and so the river is mine. Temporarily, pal, temporarily. And I have made it. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. He said, behold, therefore I am against thee and against thy rivers, and I will make the land of Egypt utterly waste and desolate from the tower of Syene, even unto the border of Ethiopia. Ethiopia and Sudan today. He says, no foot of man shall pass through it, nor foot of beast shall pass through it, neither shall it be inhabited 40 years. So that's probably running into the beginning of the millennium. That'd probably be the best place to put that. I will make the land of Egypt desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate, and her cities among the cities that are laid waste shall be desolate 40 years. And I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations and will disperse them through the countries. Okay, so that's all Muslim territory and all them nations coming around the north part of Africa. Then you come around the other side, Lebanon, Turkey, Greece, Rome. And he says in verse 13, yet thus saith the Lord God, at the end of 40 years will I gather the Egyptians from the people whither they were scattered, and I will bring again the captivity of Egypt and will cause them to return into the land of Pathros, into the land of their habitation, and they shall be there a base kingdom. So they get degraded. Now, Edomites, they get wiped out and they're done totally. The Egyptians get smacked around, punished 40 years, and then they are restored. But it gets degraded. Verse 15, it shall be the basest of the kingdoms. Neither shall exalt itself any more above the nations. So no more Alexandrian manuscripts. Not going to exalt them anymore. The Lord says, no, that's the basis. It's going down. Okay, it says, for I will diminish them, and they shall no more rule over the nations. And it shall be no more the confidence of the house of Israel. Okay, nor the confidence of the church, the bride of Christ, these guys that are running to the Alexandrian manuscripts. So it says, which bring their iniquity to remembrance when they shall look after them, but they shall know that I am the Lord. A little bit, kind of repeating that over and over, is he not? We want to get that across to them. We'll try to finish this up. And it came to pass in the 20th year, in the first month, in the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, Nebuchadnezzar with an R, king of Babylon, same guy, just spelled with an R here, spelled with an N other places, no different than Jonathan, John, Johnny, John boy, whatever. Okay, and it says, cause his army to serve a great service against Tyrus. Every head was made bald and every shoulder was peeled. Yet had he no wages, nor his army for Tyrus for the service that he had served against it. So the Lord uses Nebuchadnezzar to judge another nation. Tyrus, who were a pain or a hindrance to Israel. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will give the land of Egypt unto Nebuchadnezzar. So he did that. King of Babylon, he shall take her multitude and take her spoil, take her prey, and it shall be the wages for his army. So he's paying the soldiers by the spoils that they get out of Egypt. And I have given him the land of Egypt for his labor, wherewith he served against it, because they wrought for me, saith the Lord God. In that day will I cause the horn of the house of Israel to bud forth. Paragraph mark, in that day, second coming, The horn of the house of Israel, this is a horn is used for authority. So this is a one-verse promise of the second or the restoration of Israel. And I will give thee the opening of the mouth in the midst of them, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So there's the Lord's political stand. House of Israel is going to be restored. Okay, we'll stop there. Come up on 30 next time. Any questions or